All right, let's talk some Ducks. He covers the Oregon beat for 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at Premer. That's P-R-E-H-M-M-R 247. We welcome back Matt Preem. Matthew, how are you these days?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How are you?
All righty. Depth chart released today. Some surprises. 10 freshmen on the two deep. Freshmen backing up at quarterback. Let's start there. A year ago, we were like, so Vernon Adams has been here 45 minutes, and he gets the gig. This year, we're like, well, now we know. If they go 50-year senior, it's going to be Prukop. But I saw you point out to a couple people on Twitter that in the last week, 10 days or so, you're not that surprised that it ended up Herbert. When did things start to turn around?
The first one was, I think it was like two Fridays ago, or the days blend, but about 2 weeks ago, Farrell Brown and Darren Carrington on the same day basically came out and said that, you know, when asked about the quarterback battle, and we're looking for, you know, comments about Travis Johnson and Dakota Prukop, and both players, who in my opinion are probably the, you know, a couple of the most established offensive receivers on this team, come out and say that it's Prukop and it's Herbert that really stood out. And then a couple of days later, Charles Nelson says, you know, Prukop and Herbert are the ones that throw the best balls. And then we start talking to the coaches, and Helfrich admits, yeah, Prukop is number one, or, you know, consistently the number one quarterback, and then Herbert's right there in the thick of it. Yost comes out and says he's exceeded expectations, and you just start putting the dots together, and it's like a lot of the coaches and a lot of the receivers, the guys that have the most direct connection with the quarterbacks, aren't talking about Johnson unless you ask them specifically about Johnson. They're talking about the kid from Sheldon. And, you know, that's how Carrington and Farrell Brown referred to Herbert, the kid from Eugene. They didn't even know his last name. They just knew that he was good.
That's perfect. So we think about leading up to the Eastern Washington game last year. You had Kanton Kamitule was what you would call an oar behind DeForest Buckner. I would say he labored a little bit his first year. Today, you don't even see his name on the depth chart. Why is he absent? And can we just assume this five-star, who a lot of people thought was going to be a beast, has been a bit of a disappointment so far?
Well, I think it's his situation is to be announced, because last year he was honest and upfront about it on August 8th of Media Day, and saying last year he suffered two concussions, and it basically eliminated him for most of the season. And when you have concussions, that's an injury you can't go out, you can't play, you can't practice. And, you know, Brady Hoke in the spring was like, look, if the guy can't practice, we can't evaluate him. If we can't evaluate him, can't put him on the depth chart. And he was like, I just got to stay healthy. Hoke said you got to get commit, you know, got to get some consistent practices, and I don't think he's done that. You know, he just hasn't been able to. He's behind in development because he didn't really practice or play much last year. He's behind in learning how to practice hard and develop consistent production levels that you want to see in practice. And he's gotten himself behind. And now, can he dig himself out of a hole? You know, it's unfortunate that he's in. He doesn't have any control over that, but he's just not a consistent enough player that Oregon's coaching staff can trust him to put him into the 4-3. I think they want to. I think they know that he's a guy who's got all the physical aspects of being an absolute stud, you know, all the measurables, but
sure.
At some point, the measurables have to translate to production, and it hasn't happened.
Good tidbits there. I didn't know about those double concussions last year. A couple of weeks ago, Don Pelham joked that he was going to guarantee three guys would start at linebacker. I would say Reagan and Hodgkins, no surprise. But lo and behold, a true freshman, Troy Dye. What kind of recruit was he, and how would you rate this as far as a bit of a stunner to see him starting already?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the talk of the linebacker crew, is that Brady Hoke came out yesterday saying that Reagan and Hodgkins were the most consistent guys at the group. And when Brady Hoke mentions a player, you want to take that to the bank because he's old school. He doesn't give anyone praise unless they absolutely deserve it and unless he absolutely has to do it. And so when he said that, I immediately just told myself, those two guys are starting because he doesn't say stuff like that. But Dai, you had a feeling he was going to be in contention, in my opinion, when you watch him in the spring game because he was all over the place. I think he was like top two or three on his team in tackles. He had a bunch of them were solo. But as a recruit, yeah, you didn't expect it because he was a three-star guy. He was a tweener, you know, that guy that was like a little bit too big to be a safety, but a little too small to be a bona fide linebacker. You kind of wondered how he was going to fit into the rotation, especially with the move to the 4-3. But he got here after the spring game. He told me he put on 25 pounds from basically December until early May. And, you know, he's gotten a little bit heavier since then. So he's kind of changed his body a little bit to play a full-time linebacker spot. But, yeah, it's a surprise. I think that's more a fact of the depth concerns that Oregon has at linebacker. I mean, you look at the group here, and Johnny Reagan and Daddy Manningly are the only two guys who entered the program as scholarship players that have playing experience at Oregon that have made the depth chart of the two deep at linebacker.
Sure.
The other four guys, McDowell was a walk-on. He played last year, but he was a walk-on last year. Showed up in the spring as a receiver and somehow got transferred into the linebacker because the depth is so bad. And then the other guys are all newcomers. I mean, Jonah Moy redshirted last season, but he's never played. And, you know, that just tells you how bad this linebacker core is in terms of depth. I think Winston and Briscoe are two freshmen that are going to play, not because they're so good, but because they just need the bodies.
Wow. Yeah, this seemed like it could be an issue heading in, and right now I would just make a big question mark over it and see what happens. But I wanted to get to Jake Pazarczyk, who is part of the class of 2013 and a fellow Jersey boy. Played all 14 games in 2014 when they made it all the way to the Natty game. Only missed a game last year. He's also nowhere to be seen on the depth chart. Rumor had maybe some injuries. What's the word on him?
Yeah, a couple days ago I saw him leave practice. Him and Evan Bayless both wearing some kind of a boot, both kind of having – Pisarczyk had two crutches, Bayless had one. You know, in today's day and age, that, you know, that could mean a whole bunch of different things, and you don't want to speculate too much. But, you know, yeah, he's been seen with some kind of medical device, and it doesn't sound like he's all that healthy. And let's also be real, it's UC Davis. There's no reason to, you know, throw a guy who's got plenty of game experience into the mix against such an opponent where you don't want to aggravate the injury even more if it can happen like that. But I don't think he would start even if he was healthy. You know, Greatwood has been very high on this freshman, redshirt freshman class of guys, the five of them, ever since they got here last year. And they were all high-profile recruits. A lot of Pac-12 teams wanted them. And Oregon just had the luxury last year of being incredibly deep along the offensive line where they didn't need to play any of them. And, I mean, obviously hindsight 2020, maybe want to have played Hanson a little bit so that he could have been prepared to help for the Alamo Bowl, but you weren't going to blow a red shirt for half a game of a meaningless bowl game. But all five of these guys are studs. And it's been evident by Lemieux basically winning that left guard spot. And that's where Pisarczyk probably was going to play going into the season. You thought, okay, he's played a lot of games. He's had a couple starts at guard. That's where he's been prominently been at. It's just natural for him to slide right into that starter position with Pearson gone, but that hasn't happened. He's been beat out by Lemieux. Now that's across the board a lot of different positions. A lot of young guys have beaten out veterans that have played either starting experience or a ton of veteran experience.
Yeah, I think for the average fan looking at this depth chart, today's probably been a bunch of surprises. We continue with Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Obviously, Crosby started every game at right tackle. He now goes over to the left side. And you mentioned some heated competition. And enter Calvin Throckmorton, who gets the start a week from tomorrow, kid from Bellevue, Washington. So I was going to ask you if this is at all surprising. So I'm thinking it's really not. Is it more impressive?
Yeah, I think it's more impressive. if you want to buy into the hype of Washington, this is kind of setting up a reason why I'm talking about the Huskies here. If you want to buy into the hype of Washington and what the media is saying as they're a Rose Bowl contender, and one of the reasons is their offensive line is now older, and their right tackle is Caleb McGarry, a sophomore offensive tackle. They took McGarry because they couldn't get Throckmorton. And he had started. McGarry started at Washington as a true freshman. I mean, he had a rough. He had a solid year, but he had some rough times. Go watch Buckner just abuse him last year on YouTube if you want. But he's been. He's supposedly vastly improved. He's a big reason why Washington's got a lot of hype in their offensive line. But they took him because they couldn't get Throckmorton. And Throckmorton redshirted last year. Greatwood went out and brought in Zach Morgan, a graduate transfer, kind of as that safety valve. And I think probably going into the year, a lot of people expected Zach Morgan would start as a graduate transfer. He was a two-year starter at Dayton. He was an all-league player both years at their division. Solid performer. But maybe midway through the season, Throckmorton would slide right in. Kind of like Kyle Long, where you know he needs to get right. his bearings a little bit. But once he does, he kind of assumes a starting spot. That's already happened, apparently. And Throckmorton has assumed the right tackle spot. He's beaten out a veteran with FCS experience as an all-league player. And, you know, that they're ahead of schedule there. And I think they're ahead of schedule with Shane Lemieux. They're ahead of schedule with Jake Hansen, obviously. And that one was, you know, Helfrich, like, week one, came out and said, we've got no fears of Hansen at center.
Yeah.
Week one of fall camp of a guy that's never played a snap.
Amazing. One other thing. When most people left the spring game, they had Dylan Mitchell on the brain. He caught a couple of touchdown passes. One was just a spectacular job of going up and getting it. I mean, nobody had more catches. He had over 100 yards. And lo and behold, we look on that depth chart, and they list a total of 7 receivers. He's not on there. What's his status?
He's hurt. I think that's the biggest issue is that he's hurt. Apparently, he got hurt in last Saturday's practice. It was a contact injury. He's been in crutches ever since. He's told the Oregonian that we'll see is his words of will he play on next Saturday against UC Davis. He's going to play. You watch him in the spring game. You go watch his highlight tape. He was the Gatorade State Player of the Year as a senior. He had over, I think, 32 touchdown receptions as a senior. Alabama and Florida State sent a coach to his house every week during the season, trying to get him to flip from his commitment from Oregon to one of those two schools. And, you know, last time I checked, those two programs, they know their talent.
A little bit.
You know, this guy is going to play. And the only thing that's going to hinder him from playing is if this knee injury that he's got is serious and that, you know, he's not going to be healthy until middle of October or you know, something of that nature. You know, but I would expect him to play, and I expect him, you know, in a couple of weeks to be on that depth chart if he's healthy. But if he's not, then he's going to redshirt. He's too good to keep off the football field, especially with the guys that you're going to lose next year and Stanford and probably Darren Carrington, probably Devin Allen. You want to have some form of experience coming back. And you know, he's a game breaker, a lot like Darren Carrington is. And you want him to have some kind of experience under his belt next year.
Yeah, you know, I was reading over this depth chart. I got one final guy to ask you about. When it seems like when Carrington performs, there's like a great trickle down. The offense just seems to kick it into another gear. What's the status of DC?
You know, he also got hurt in Saturday's practice last week, but he seems to be fine. You know, he was reportedly in a sling after Saturday's practice, but that we've never seen him walk out of a practice or walk into one with a sling. He's taken part in drills, and he has come out and said he's fine. He'll be ready to go week one, which, you know, if push comes to shove, look, if Oregon loses to UC Davis because Darren Carrington didn't play in the football game, Oregon's got bigger problems than Darren Carrington's health. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think he's going to play. But if Oregon decides to say, you know what, let's play it safe. We've got a big game against Virginia. We've got a big game against Nebraska in 3 weeks.
let's rescue. If Oregon says that, I wouldn't be shocked either.
All right. Give yourself a plug. Where could folks find all the work you're doing for 24/7 as we get into the teeth of the season and basically people lose their minds?
Yeah, you go to oregon.247sports.com or you can just go to 247sports and you'll find the team link to us on there, or simply just type in duckterritory.com, and we got lots of stuff up there on a daily basis, and we will throughout all of football. We'll be at the Nebraska game as well.
Oh, awesome. Hey, yeah. Matt, appreciate you coming on, my man, and you have a good one, and we'll catch up with you live and in living color next week.
Absolutely. Stay cool.
All right.
Be hot.
Take it easy.